All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Just a couple things off of the postgame. The pregame that was truly amazing. When you had the Democratic Congressman Glenn Ivey saying that he wanted to go down, he's going to make sure he flies down to El Salvador to check on them, to check on the illegal border invaders, criminals that are been deported to El Salvador. Imagine that being your priority. Imagine that you are going to go ahead and book, and we all know now that they were staying at a high-end Hyatt while they're down there living it up, sipping margaritas. So no wonder they all want to go down there. But anyway, so that's your priority as a Democrat in 2025, is you're going to actually book flights, book hotel rooms, book limousines, book your meals, all, by the way, at our expense, for Democratic Party politicians to fly down to El Salvador. Trump should go ahead and do an executive order barring them from doing so. I mean, really, because what is the point? I mean, I'm only half kidding with that. It would be unconstitutional, but regardless, I mean, imagine in 2025 as a Democrat, you're going to go down and you're going to check on illegals that have been deported to El Salvador because you just want to see, you know, how well they're doing. You abort up 1 to 2 million babies per year in the United States of America. Those illegals, many of them, you imported 30,000 convicted or charged. You imported 30,000 rapists and murderers into the country in a four-year period of time. 495,000 convicted criminals into the country. But your priority is to book flights down to El Salvador to check on deported MS-13 members. I mean, imagine that. I mean, you know, they can talk about Trump polling numbers all they want, which, by the way, his polling numbers are great, especially in comparison. I love that clip of Chuck Schumer, him talking about this president having the lowest polling numbers for the first 100 days ever, which is all lies. And then the reporter kicks back at him and says, well, your polling numbers are at 17%. He goes, well, you don't really take polls seriously. So, I mean, the reason why they're at 17% is because, I mean, just imagine it. And I know this is redundant, but just imagine it, that your priority is to book flights, per diems, cars, hotels, to fly down and check on non-United States citizens. Now, Trump, I think he got it's number 48 now, freed another hostage from, I believe it was Russia this time. And so that makes the 48 out of 100. The 100 that Joe Biden did absolutely nothing about for 4 years, Donald Trump's already cut that in half. So his priority is to bring home United States citizens, while the Democratic Party's priority is to fly down to El Salvador and check on deported MS-13 members. One other thing. Ilhan Omar saying in the pregame, and this I believe that's a more recent video, that white men are causing the most deaths in America. I would love to see her information on that. I mean, imagine going out and espousing that. Now, we all know the numbers, and this isn't a matter of white versus black. It's a matter of, or white versus Hispanic, or Hispanic versus Asian, or anything else. It's all just about what's true. What does the data say? 13% of the population commits 56% of the violent crime, and that 13% of the population is black men. And she says that white men are causing the most deaths. This is somebody who aborts 1 million people a year in the United States alone. And again, and I always have to reiterate this, this is without California and New York reporting. Why did California and New York not report? Because their abortion numbers are absolutely at Holocaust levels. That's why. I mean, Holocaust levels. Tom, you can't. I'm saying it. You're talking about 5 to 7 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. We're killing 41 million people a year worldwide. We don't talk about the Holocaust, and we should talk about the Holocaust, but I'm just saying there's no comparison. Absolutely no comparison. And so this is a woman who says she's really concerned about the deaths white males are causing. I would love to see it. I mean, again, it has to go on a percentage basis because she's saying the white males cause the most deaths. I'd like to see exactly what she's talking about and which deaths she's talking about, because you're going to spout those things. You ought to have some empirical data to back you up. It's just amazing how these people will go up to podiums, will go up, will sign up for these newscasts and these interviews, and just absolutely put out these diatribes of generalities that nobody checks. See, because Donald Trump is always checked. Every last thing he says is checked to the letter, to the number, But Ilhan Omar can come out. Where was the reporter? You're like, Tom, this is just a pregame. Get over it. I can't get over it. Where was the reporter? Oh, really? White men are causing the most deaths? Explain that to us, please, Ilhan. Don't even call her congresswoman. Ilhan, who you're married to your brother. And by the way, that's an absolute fact. She was married to her brother. She needs to be immediately deported. And we need to have the balls to do it. I mean, literally, just like, and you know what? I don't doubt that Trump does. I really don't doubt that Trump does. Because Letitia James is probably going to get indicted. Ilhan Omar needs to be deported. This is what you need to do. Take the gloves off and absolutely, like Bannon was talking about in the pregame, double down on these people. Go, literally go after them. Deport Ilhan Omar. She committed immigration fraud, marrying her brother, claiming that he was her husband. She needs to be deported. I mean, absolutely deport her. And if she resists, put her in handcuffs, put her on a plane, fly her back to Somalia, where she has pledged her own allegiance anyway, where she has said that Somalia is her number one priority. Somalia is her country, and she is in the United States working on behalf of the Somalian government. And she has said that from the stage during a speech with the Somalian president right behind her. All right, let me say hey to everybody in the Rumble chat tonight. Praise Holler is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. USA Abigail is on. Skunk 71 is on. Volvo 960 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. General Plowman is on. Spaz 64 is on. Bud Dave is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Lady Vu is on. Maligator 1960 is on. Producer Aaron is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Scooter 8887. Is on. Steven 63 Yog is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Naz Yeager is on. Stephen Thomas is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Luann 5 is on. Boy 7 Howdy is on. Tim LT Bird is on. Sheila K is on. Johnny F 62 is on. Conservative Waffles on. Biggie 92678 is on. Goozy 600 is on. Whammy Jammer 79 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Jim Brody is on. DK 1203 is on. Joe Heathen's on. Confederate One is on. X Clark 1968 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. A Wethy is on. C Suff is on. Let me see here. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Granite 2468 is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Love you guys. Let's go to the border real quick. Doing all things Trump administration launch tonight. Rapid response 47 at Bill Malugin. DHS will announce today that they are going to start paying for the commercial flights of illegal aliens. There's two parts to this story. You got to listen to both parts. I can't remember what the order is. But anyway, there's two parts of the story. So make sure you listen to both and we'll discuss both. And on top of that, they're going to pay them an additional $1,000 stipend once they are confirmed to have left the country. People are like, pay them to leave. Yeah, pay them to leave because it's costing us $17,000 per person to deport them right now. And if we pay them to leave, it's only like $4,000. So it's like 70% cut in expense. All right, play it for me.
Fox News can report exclusively that DHS will announce today that they're going to start paying for the commercial flights of illegal aliens who self-deport from the U.S. And on top of that, they're going to pay them an additional $1,000 stipend once they're confirmed to have left the country. Now, DHS says doing this is going to be significantly cheaper for the American taxpayer. They tell us that right now it costs, on average, about $17,000 to arrest, detain, and deport someone. They say paying for self-deportations and the stipend will only cost about $4,500 per person. That's about 70% cheaper. Aliens are going to have to register to self-deport on the new CBP Home app to access that DHS financial assistance, as well as announce their intent to leave the country. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem tells Fox in part, quote, "If you are here illegally, self-deportation is the best, safest, and most cost-effective way to leave the United States to avoid arrest." In the meantime, here in the sanctuary city of Los Angeles, ICE confirms to Fox News that three suspects arrested in connection with the home invasion murder of a man in the Woodland Hills neighborhood last Sunday are all in the U.S. illegally. ICE's acting director Todd Lyons tells Fox they are all Georgian nationals, two of whom were caught and released at the border after crossing illegally, and the third who overstayed a tourist visa, and listen to this, had two previous arrests with ICE detainers on him ignored due to sanctuary policy.
So you just saw two. Let's go back to front. The three people that murdered person in the sanctuary city of Los Angeles. And again, just imagine how, and I know some of you probably want me to get off of this horse, this dead horse, because it's a Democrat or a dead donkey. But anyway, imagine what it is to be a Democrat right now. I mean, if it was me, I would be ashamed of myself. Because you just had an LA citizen brutally murdered by three illegals that you advocate to stay in, and you have Congressman Ivey flying down to El Salvador to make sure that they're okay and their beds are nice and tucked in at CCOT. I mean, this guy, by the way, Ivey did this in the midst of this or just after this. Because they just found out these three men that broke into this home, murdered this person, were all illegals in a sanctuary city run by a radical leftist globalist named Karen Bass, let the city burn to the ground. Part of it anyway, Pacific Palestinians. I mean, just imagine what it means to be a Democrat. And there's no shame. There's no retraction. There's no, you know what, we might need to rethink our position. You know, you might need to want to rethink your position that you are advocating for murderers and rapists, and it keeps happening over and over and over again. How many of these stories have we run? Oh, it was just found out that the person who is responsible for three deaths in a vehicular homicide, who had no driver's license, been deported four times, is here illegally, and it was allowed in by the Biden administration. We can bring up the big cases, the Morons and the Lake and Riley's, all here for people who have been criminally deported or allowed or even flown in by the Biden administration. Because it wasn't enough for Joe Biden to open the southern border. He had to also fly them in so that they could avoid the inconvenience of having to walk through the Darien Gap. I mean, just imagine. I mean, imagine what it is to be a Democrat. I just think of them, like whether it's Whoopi Goldberg or Sonny Hostin or Jake Tapper or Chuck Todd or any Democratic Party politician. You keep getting caught. Then you go and you defend Kilmar Abrego Garcia. And again, Congressman Ivey going down there to check on him. I wonder if he's going to drink margaritas with him at the Hyatt. And you keep getting, I mean, you absolutely just get, you just keep getting kicked right in the nads over and over again. But yet you double down. Kilmar Abrego Garcia enters the country illegally in 2012, gets caught up in an MS-13 gang sweep because he was with the gang leaders, because he is in the gang, and has MS-13 on his knuckles. Yes, the insignia of the MS-13 on his knuckles. So he gets caught up in the gang sweep. You know why he gets caught up in the gang sweep? Because he's in the gang. Obviously, two courts say that he was in a gang. He gets a final order of removal after being in the country for 7 years straight in 2019. After that, he beats his wife twice, she files for two injunctions. Who knows how many times he beat her? But two injunctions for protection are filed against him from his wife for numerous beatings. And he gets caught human trafficking, gets mysteriously dropped by the FBI after it's given to the FBI by the Tennessee Highway Patrol. And the Tennessee Highway Patrol right now, to their complete discredit, is refusing to release the Kilmar Abrego Garcia report of when they pulled him over and caught him with seven people in their car as he was traveling through Tennessee from Texas. I mean, whether it's Nashville PD, whether it's Tennessee Highway Patrol, Tennessee for a conservative state needs to get a whole lot more conservative. But anyway, you're going to defend this? And then, his wife's testimony just got released in court about him threatening to kill her and that he could kill her and get away with it? I mean, imagine what it's like to be a Democrat. I mean, whore is not an appropriate term. It's got to be worse than whore. When you're going to go up there and absolutely whore yourself out to just repetitive pathological lies, how do you even sleep at night? How do you get up in the morning? How do you play with your kids when this is the type of person that you are? I mean, it's amazing to me. It really is. So they get caught again right here. And there's no... You know what, Karen Bass doesn't come out and say, I'm sorry that we're a sanctuary. I would. If I caused somebody to get murdered because I'm a sanctuary, because I knew that it was going to be a really powerful virtue signal to Democrats that I'm a sanctuary city, like Karen Bass is LA, Gavin Newsom's California, really a sanctuary state. And people keep getting murdered and people keep getting raped, not their relatives, because they're behind guns and walls that they don't want you to have. And illegal immigration never touches Karen Bass's life because she's a multimillionaire. And it never touches Gavin Newsom's life because he's a multimillionaire somehow and has spent his whole entire life in quote unquote public service. Of course, just servicing himself, enriching himself, of course, via NGOs and all that, which I won't get into right now. But anyway, so, and then in the second part of this, I love this. The CBP One app, which used to be a welcome in, is now a welcome out. And if you welcome yourself out and self-deport, you can actually re-enter the country legally at some other point. If you don't, you get caught up in deportations. You can never come back in. And I just, it's $17,000. Here it is right here from Bill Melugin. Right now, it costs an average of $17,000 to arrest, detain, and deport someone, paying for self-deportation and the stipend. So they pay for the flight, and they give them a stipend of $1,000. It's $4,500. So 70% cut in price. Why does it cost $17,000? Because all you need to do is figure out where it is, and most of them will confess it to you. Where did you enter the country illegally? We all know where they entered in illegally. They were, because right now, Donald Trump isn't allowed to deport the people that Biden flew in, over 500,000 of them at $150,000 a flight. And you have these leftist pundits talking to Donald Trump or any administrative staff member about various costs, and they never ever brought up $150,000 a flight to actually fly in murderers and rapists out of other countries. So I'm just curious, why does it cost $17,000 to deport somebody? And again, they're saying you get no due process. They must get a whole lot of due process for $17,000. I mean, Kilmar Abrego Garcia had like, I can't remember how many hearings the man had, like 50. I mean, I can't remember what the numbers were. But anyway, why is that? Just figure out where they entered in the country, rent vans, drive them down, have a big hole in the wall, and send them right back across the border into Mexico, because that's where they entered. We all know that. If they happen to enter into Canada, go to Doug Ford's Ontario, cut a little hole in our side of the fence, and kick them into Ontario because Doug wants them, allegedly. So, I mean, that's all. Why do we need to do anything else? You know, and by the way, we're never going to lie, but nobody even needs to know. Catch them, determine whether they're illegal or not, find out where it was that they illegally entered the country, and simply drive them there and put them back into the country that they illegally entered in from. All right, let's go to the next one, wherever I'm at. I mean, therefore, I am video breaking. A 678-unit complex in San Antonio has had to be returned to the bank because the owner has gone bankrupt because of Tren de Aragua. Play for me.
Plagued by crime, along with gang activity, is going into foreclosure, leaving the future of hundreds of tenants uncertain.
The owner tells News 4 iTeam reporter Jay Avila he believes the city's migrant policies and police response caused the downfall of his property.
The owner of the 678-unit Palacia Apartments says they never financially recovered after Tren de Aragua gang members broke into hundreds of apartments, damaged them, and even rented them to people who had been staying at the city's Migrant Resource Center.
So this has been kicked in. It's gone.
Last summer, John Barker showed us how many of his apartments were being lived in by people who had left the migrant center or the airport shelter operated by the city. Some had paid money to gang members to stay there.
They had their own leases that they were signing with these residents or with these migrants that they were bringing in, taking their money and breaking into our units.
Barker says he begged the city for help, but at first, an assistant city attorney responded with indifference.
And he said verbatim to me, "We refuse to acknowledge there's a migration issue. And if there's any issues on site that you're having to deal with, that's on you."
In a statement today, the city said it made extensive efforts to keep the area safe. SAPD increased patrols in the complex, dedicated specialized units to investigate criminal activity, and worked closely with property owners and management to respond to ongoing concerns. Barker says by the time SAPD raided the complex last October, arresting 19 people, including four Tren de Aragua members, 60% of the units were damaged or vacant. Repairs were so extensive and costly, he's now forced to give the property back to the bank next.
See, the reason why the Democrats don't care at all is because they're not property owners. They don't care. It doesn't touch them. If it actually touched the Hyatt or any of J.B. Pritzker's 64 NGOs and actually cost him in any way, shape, or form his bottom line because he is a chubby money grubber, he would actually start to care about this. This person lost everything. Lost everything because Trende Aragua actually invaded this apartment complex. Hundreds of apartments. I mean, you know, this thing's huge. They invaded hundreds of the apartments. Did you see the pictures? See the pictures of how these people were living? These Aaron was talking about, Brent was talking about. These are the best and brightest. This is what Democrats always say. These are the best and brightest that have been brought in to this country by the Biden administration. All of this was happening during the Biden administration. Everybody's gone now. I'm telling you right now, everybody's running for cover now, which is exactly what you want. Self-deportation is record levels. But then they reach out to the city of San Antonio, which, as most cities in this country, is dominated by Democrats. And they refuse to acknowledge an immigration problem at all. I mean, do you refuse in 2025 or 2024, probably when this happened, that there's an immigration problem at all? That's what you refuse to acknowledge? Which, by the way, it's so funny because all the Democratic Party pundits and the politicians that are talking on the punditry shows are all saying now, oh, we acknowledge it the whole time. No. We have the videos. Basically, all the way up until Trump was elected, now you're backtracking, because you don't want to sound as stupid as you actually are. They never acknowledged that there was a border problem whatsoever. I mean, over and over again, we can say it. We have the Biden video, the Kamala Harris video. I'm trying to think of all of the others. I mean, Alejandro Mayorkas video. I mean, we have all the videos of all the various Democratic Party politicians for all of 2021, 22, 23, and 24 saying the border's closed, the border's secure. I mean, we could play them. Oh, Karine Jean-Pierre, we could play it over and over and over again. So San Antonio just, of course, jumps right onto that narrative and says, there is no immigration problem. I don't know what your problem is. There's hundreds of Trende Aragua. And again, just reintroducing Trende Aragua to everybody. They're not a Venezuelan gang. They are a Venezuelan prison gang who signed contracts. And this is absolutely true, 100% verified, 100% true. Signed contracts with Maduro that he will release them out of prison if they will exclusively migrate through the Darien Gap into the United States of America. That is absolute fact, which, by the way, enables Trump to deport them as part of the act, the 17 whatever act, I can't remember. Alien Enemies Act. He's able to deport them because of the Alien Enemies Act, which is supposed to be only if it's foreign invasion. Is that not a foreign invasion? Where you have Maduro signing contracts with Trende Aragua, allowing them out of prison if they will go to the United States and invade the United States. So, I mean, that's what was happening, and the city of San Antonio just refused to respond to it. And they say now, of course, now in 2025, where now it's been exposed and everybody's anti illegal immigration. Now they're saying that they had comprehensive and intense response to the problem. What was it? Increased patrols. Do you know that I was a cop for 25 years? You know what increased patrols means? Nothing. What it means is that briefing prior to everybody going on duty is they say, this is a trouble area if you can't drive through. That's it. That's all that they did until they finally raided the place. They had increased patrols, and that's their comprehensive, intensely militant response to a apartment complex being taken over by a foreign adversary, a foreign terrorist group. Hundreds. This isn't 10 apartments, and I don't want to sound like the the anchor, whatever you call it, media lady, anchor lady, whatever, that J.D. Vance is going back and forth. Was it Martha Kraddatz, maybe? I don't remember. But anyway, yeah, I think it was. It was Martha Kraddatz. So when she goes, she's talking about Aurora, Colorado. Well, it's just a few apartment complex. She goes, Martha, do you hear yourself? That you think it's okay that Trende Aragua, because, okay, here we have San Antonio. So then you have Aurora, Colorado. It's quite a ways away from each other. And Trende Aragua is invading apartment complexes in both areas. And then we're not allowed to use the Alien Invasion Act. It's obviously aliens invading Aurora and San Antonio all at the same time. And the Democratic Party response in San Antonio is, we don't really acknowledge that there's an immigration problem. I have hundreds of my apartments being invaded and destroyed, and you're not going to acknowledge the problem, don't worry, we're going to increase patrol. So every now and then a patrol car will drive through there. That, a lot of good that'll do. All right, let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes pick. Department of Education sends 25% of Pell Grants to AI bots. Do you hear this? Do you know what the total is? $28 billion. Didn't you kind of always wonder how it is that we're $37 trillion in debt and you and I have never seen a dime of it? Because again, just using the example that I always use, we had Hurricane Ian, right, Aaron? That was the bad one.
Yep.
Right, Ian.
Yep.
There's been too many. Milton, Helene, Ian. But anyway, Hurricane Ian did all the damage to this building, and we had all of our debris sitting in the back, and I just kept waiting for FEMA to pick it up. They refused to, and so we had spent $8,000 doing it ourselves, which, by the way, that's not what's supposed to happen because we pay our taxes to have that picked up. But anyway, so I'm always wondering, how are we $37 trillion in debt? Because if we were, imagine if you just dispersed $37 trillion amongst every American. So I'm just wondering how it is, not that I want their money, I just take it in tax returns. How is it that we never see any of it? Because it's being exclusively spent on Democrats. I mean, there's a few, Rhino, if you watch Mike Benz, and you ought to, some scraps go to Rhino Republicans like the Lindsey Grahams of the world. But it's so minor, it's not worth talking about. Basically, what has been going on in our country since the 60s is NGOs being set up or fake premises being set up for Democrats to enrich themselves. Because, yes, this went to AI bots, but that $21 billion didn't disappear into the ether. It's in somebody's pocket. So our government, the reason why we're $37 trillion in debt is because our government has set up NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats, and they pay themselves multi-millions of dollars to disperse the money that they're given. And you're like, well, at least it's somewhat altruistic. No, that dispersion goes to Democratic Party campaigns, Democratic Party attorneys, and the dispersion is actually their salaries because they're given, let's say, $60 million. And they're supposed to be giving that away, let's say, to trans student backpacks. So they're given all that money. Well, they pay themselves out of that $60 million, $59,500,000, and then they buy $500,000 worth of backpacks for trans students. That is it. That's why we're bankrupt. We're not bankrupt because of the Iraq war or even the Afghanistan war, which I was against and I am against both of them. But we are bankrupt because Democrats and capitulating, spineless, ballless Republicans allow them to do so, form NGOs and other governmental agencies. Because it's not just NGOs, because you can just go to governmental agencies like USAID, which is now gone, but had 14,000 employees up till a month ago. 14,000 employees, and I believe a $14 billion budget. Spent on what? And they always like to say that it's, you know, they're feeding kids abroad. This is not farm aid. It had nothing to do with aid. U.S. aid has nothing to do with aid. It has to do with Democrats to spur the giving money out to other Democrats and other NGOs. USAID was basically like a bot farm, but it was an NGO farm. So dispersion of funds went through the USAID into Democratic Party NGOs that pay themselves to disperse money that they don't disperse anywhere but back to themselves. It's a glorious scheme. J.B. Pritzker owns 64 NGOs. Is he really even a billionaire? Is Warren Buffett, who had to make a phone call to the Treasury Secretary to save his business, actually a billionaire? Or is he just, are all these people actually just hand puppets for globalist interests inside the United States of America and are given billions of dollars to be that? So the Department of Education says 25% of Pell Grants to people who don't exist. And this couldn't have been found out a year. I mean, this couldn't have been found out a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. Each year, the Department of Education sends out $28 billion in Pell Grants. So I was wrong. It's only 25% of the $28 billion. It's missing into the ether. So, yeah, one quarter of that. So that would be, let's see, $7 billion. $7 billion just sent to AI bots. To millions of students, 25% of whom aren't actually students. Fraudsters use AI bots to apply and enroll long enough for the Department of Education to send out the grants because nobody cares. And up until Doge came around, do you realize there was no need, there was no receipts were ever required, and there was no tab even put on the expenditure? It was just, there was no code. There was no way to track where the money went. I mean, you're talking about, what are you talking about? Because all of these people were so concerned about Elon Musk being able to access our personal data. That's what everybody, Sonny Hostin cried every day on The View over it, right? And Chuck Schumer and everybody else. But what about, okay, so you're so concerned about Elon Musk and big balls having access to private information. That's what you're so concerned about. But you have no interest in even tracking where this money goes. Which one's more important? Somebody who, these people all have to pass the background. They all have to, you know, qualify as government employees. So that's already done. And by the way, what makes them different than all the rudimentary IRS people, Social Security people that are combing through all of your personal data every day anyway? Nothing. There's no difference between anybody. They're all past the exact same qualifications. But regardless, so you're so concerned about that, but you're not concerned about where the money actually goes? Isn't that the point of having a security clearance? So you can decide and decipher where money is going and track it? Up till Elon Musk came, there was no tabs even attached to spending and no receipts required. So they would just send out money into the wind. Out into the wind. And there's nobody has any idea who got it. There's no receipt is ever sent back. There's no sort of tracking device attached to it. Nothing. Talking about electronic device, nothing is attached to it. So now you have basically $7 billion a year. Think about that times 20. This has been going on for years. I mean, ever since there was such a thing as an AI bot, which was probably somewhere in the early 2000s, this has been going on. And nobody does a thing about it. We just accumulate, Aaron, can you throw up the debt clock? We just accumulate over and over again. Look at this. Nobody cares. $7 billion into the ether. It's gone. Nobody ever pays any attention to it at all. I mean, think about the level of purposeful incompetence. It's actually malfeasance, not misfeasance. Misfeasance is mistakes made. Malfeasance is making mistakes on purpose for nefarious purposes. This is malfeasance. And nobody cares. I mean, we do now that we're just shy. We're $2 billion shy of being $37 trillion in debt. No, it's not $2 billion. Just shy of $200 billion. Shy of being $37 trillion in debt. Now, I mean, you're starting to claw back some money. But this is why it is this way. Where's all this? I'm telling you. What do we really need? You can bring it back to me. That's good. What do we really need to function every year in the United States? What do we really need to fund everything? Maybe $1 trillion a year. I'm telling you. That's all we need. Maybe $1 trillion a year to have the best military. You just scrap so many of these agencies. I mean, have you ever even heard of these agencies that are being scrapped? I mean, that or are being cut back? They don't ever do anything. 6% of the working force in Washington, D.C. reports for work every day. What do they do? I mean, why are we paying for it? I mean, I'm telling you, we need about $1 trillion a year budget. A $1 trillion a year budget, what's our budget right now? $6.8 trillion a year, and we only bring in $4 to $5 trillion worth of tax revenue every year. All right, let's go to the next one. Red Wave press video, a former State Department employee, Levita Muerte Farrar, and following the linguistic Latino rules, pleaded guilty last Wednesday, to embezzling over $650,000 from the U.S. United States State Department. Play for him.
Get this. A former State Department employee pleads guilty after stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars of your taxpayer money, all by writing dozens of checks to herself. Mark Meredith is live in Washington. And Mark, she got away with this stuff for years. How?
Aisha, good afternoon. Well, it was for a little more than 2 years that she was a senior budget analyst at the State Department. She admitted to abusing her access to the government's checking account, eventually embezzling $650,000 of taxpayer money. The 64-year-old Maryland woman issued 60 checks to herself, 3 checks to a friend. Prosecutors say she signed each check, then put them into her personal accounts. Prosecutors say the woman used the software QuickBooks to try to hide the scheme. She'll be sentenced in September, and she's agreed to pay restitution.
So what was this complex scheme? Which, by the way, if Kamala, give it to me, Aaron.
Kamala.
Was elected as president right now, we wouldn't even know about a Muerte Ferrar. We wouldn't know about her. Because they would never investigate it because they would want her to continue to write herself checks. Which, by the way, what's your scheme? You'd think it would be this complex cloak and dagger sort of system. She'd have like an Aaron behind the scenes tapping away, Davy Jonesing, working it out, fraudulent schemes, diverting money, you know, to fake accounts and AI bots and phantom accounts and all those different untraceable communications. You'd think that would be what was going on, right? No, she's writing herself checks. How does she have access to the State Department checking account? You know why? Get this, Brett. Get this, Aaron. Because there's only one account for the entire United States government. Do you know that? Ugh. One account for the entire United States government. They have all these different software programs that they duplicate over and over again, and all the wasted money and the wasted buildings and the wasted furniture and the wasted picnic tables, $60 million a month to rent a building that nobody's working at over and over and over again. All of that, and you can't have separate accounts for different institutions. So she's writing herself checks. That's it. 60 of them. For $650,000. And well, 60 checks to herself and three to a friend. So she can actually write a government check to a friend. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the United States government. And as a Democrat in 2025, you are trying to stop Donald J. Trump from regulating this sieve of financial waste and fraud and abuse. That's what your goal is. Speaking of Democratic Party hacks, let's have some fun with Letitia James. Green Lives Matter video. Letitia James might have just had her most unhinged meltdown yet. Here it is. Let's let this voice just roll right over your soul and bring soothing to you. Shall we? Play for me.
You've got too many small businesses worried about tariffs. You've got too many immigrants who have fallen into my arms, concerned about going to school and going to work and going into courthouses. Afraid each and every day. There are communities all across this state and this nation that have been silenced because of Trump. They're afraid. Businesses closing all in Brooklyn, all up and down Flatbush Avenue. Little Haiti closed. People are afraid, and it should not be. This is a country where we stand up for liberties and justice and freedom. And he wants to take us back. Well, I don't know about you, I'm not going back. The White House is threatening our way of life in so many ways.
Her voice sounds like the bottom end of a vomit. You know, right? When it's already out, you go, right there. Right there, her entire voice sounds like the bottom end of a vomit the entire time she's talking. So look at this now. She says that immigrants are falling into her arms, Brett and Aaron. Oh. Show me a picture of that, please. I would love to see, because an immigrant wouldn't be allowed within 10 feet of Her Majesty. I mean, so the immigrants are falling into her arms and nobody questions. Imagine if Donald Trump said that. He said something like that about soldiers. These soldiers are falling into my arms. The media would be all over it. Then she says immigrants are falling into her arms. Show me pictures of immigrants falling into your arms. Symbolically or in actuality. Show me any immigrant falling into her arms. She says businesses are closing. Which ones? Name them, please. Which businesses are closing? The ones that are on the street that are cooking rats, that one, those? Are those the ones that are closing, the Haitian ones that are on the street? Literally, we played them on the show before. They're out there in New York City where she's the attorney general cooking rats. Are those the businesses that closed that make 14 cents a day? Good, they should close. They never should have been open. And she said Little Haiti is closed. Well, if Little Haiti was run by illegals, it should be closed. And by the way, Little Haiti is not closed. It's all lies, all absolute lies. So what she's doing, and by the way, she just launched another lawsuit against Donald Trump in reference to his immigration policies. So here's a mischief video. This is Sam Antar, forensic accountant and registered Democrat, who says the mortgage fraud scheme against Letitia James is a slam dunk case. Play for me.
Wow. Tish James, of course, she responded to the allegation. She's saying that she's basically being targeted by President Trump, that this is all part of a revenge plot. Let's take a listen to what she said here.
Let me just say to all New Yorkers and to all Americans, the allegations are baseless. The allegations are nothing more than a revenge tour.
It seems to be based on some social media posts that I know were made by partisan political actors.
Partisan? I'm a registered Democrat. I'm not a partisan political actor. You know, Errol Lewis should know better. I've met him. I actually like him. Mm-hmm. I've seen him at events where I've demonstrated with the Democrats at City Hall, and this is ridiculous. The reality is partisan political actors did not make Letitia James sign documents that were false over a period of 40 years. Mm. Her lawyer says, well, the Trump administration is cherry picking. Well, guess what? You don't have to cherry pick to find the false document that she signed. The only document that I found that was not false was one mortgage on one property, but she should have also disclosed it in her financial disclosures to New York State. This is a slam dunk case. And she can try to wiggle out of it baseless and this and that, this and that. Listen. The documents speak for themselves. The evidence is there.
Right. One of the residences, she said, was her primary residence, so she could get a lower mortgage rate. Reporters have been knocking at the door. The neighbors have never seen her there. I mean, she has been caught red-handed, dead to rights. What do you think about how hypocritical she is? She was out there. She campaigned on getting Trump, saying no one is above the law. She is the top lawyer of New York State. She's not above the law either.
Well, when you're doing crime, you try not to be hypocritical. You try to keep a low profile. Let's put it this way. She'd be a reject for the crazy Eddie fraud.
Your prediction. Does Big Tish end up in a big orange jumpsuit?
I can't predict the future, but I believe that she will get indicted. And I believe that she will end up getting convicted. Will she end up in jail? I don't know.
I love that lady host now because she closes with the Big Tish comment. She comes out and she actually says, Big Tish comes out and says, and by the way, you just need to look, I'm telling you, she's this wide. I'm not kidding you. I'm talking about back end of her rear end to her big fat belly. She's that freaking wide. I'm about that wide. She is that wide. How does she even fit in anything? No wonder during her campaign at taxpayer expense, she had to fly around in private jets because she can't fit in a commercial seat. She is huge. I mean, her butt is that wide. I mean, look out. You see my body. Listen, I'm fat. I'm just telling you, though. She's that fat. I'm fat. She's like mega fat.
Double wide.
lot of woman to love right there. Oh. He threw up my mouth. I got dry heaves going on in the TLP studios. So she says, you know, this is a revenge tour. And she actually looks the camera in the eye. Symbolizing that she's looking New Yorkers in the eyes and says that it's all false. Is it false? Because these are all active living documents that are still in place. She could have changed all of this over time. In other words, she could have even covered her tracks during the years of persecution via prosecution of Donald J. Trump. She could have gone back and refied these things and hidden all this. She didn't bother to do it. These are all active documents. These are all documents that are still in place today where she says that her dad is her husband in Ilhan Omar style. She qualified for a loan because she wouldn't have qualified for it if she didn't have her dad's income at the time. It's a current mortgage, active mortgage. She could have changed it. She's multimillionaire now somehow, but right now on a current mortgage, her dad is her husband, and she looks the camera in the eye and says it's a lie. Right now, she got a preferential mortgage because she claimed a unit was four units instead of five because five makes it commercial, four makes it residential, and if you get a five, you have to go with a commercial loan, which is far more expensive, which with a far higher interest rates and shorter term, you got to pay a whole lot more money. So she lied there. That is still in place and is an active mortgage. How is he lying? How is it a lie in any way, shape, or form? You can say, what about the Trump case where she says that he misrepresented the value? Deutsche Bank asked him, What do you value Mar-a-Lago at? He gave a number. They did their own due diligence and gave him a loan, just like every real estate transaction. There was no lies on any documents. There was no lies on any documents that are legal documents. There's nothing. There was nothing where you have a notary, where you're swearing, where Donald Trump lied. He gave his opinion of what Mar-a-Lago is worth, which, by the way, was completely accurate. Because Deutsche Bank comes in and does a CMA, a comparative market analysis, and says that's exactly what it's worth for all intents and purposes. Here's the money, whether it's $10 million less, $10 million more, when you're dealing with a $1 billion property for all intents and purposes, multi-hundred millions. And she says it's worth $18 million. It's literally worth $500 million. She knows nothing. Why is she involved in the Florida real estate market anyway, except for somehow, through some sort of tentacles of jurisdiction, it reached into California. And then she claimed that one of these residences in Virginia was her primary residence. Again, this is an active mortgage. She could have refied all this and hidden it, at least tried to hide it. Still would all be crimes. But it would depend on statute of limitations at that point. But anyway, so the statute of limitations would not have run out by this time. But anyway, so right now she's claiming that a residence that she's never been to, where they've sent reporters down and talked to everybody living in this residence and around the residence. Have you ever seen Big Tishy? Ever seen her? No, she claims that it's a primary residence, which disqualifies her from even being governor of the state, but that doesn't matter. That'd be civil. It is mortgage fraud because you get a more beneficial rate if it's your primary residence. So she committed multiple acts over 40 years of all of these mortgages. She's committed multiple cases of fraud. He could only find one of all of her mortgages. And that being Sam Antar, a forensic accountant, he could only find one instance in her 40 years of getting mortgages where she was actually honest. One. And she has the audacity to look at the camera and say, this is all lies. What is a lie? Which part is a lie? The 4 out of 5 residences that your dad is your husband? And this is your primary residency? Your primary residence? Which one exactly is the lie? All right, let's go to the next thing. Unlimited L's video. Knew the man accused. Here we go again. The man accused of stabbing 29-year-old Lauren Heineke 15 times after stalking her on an Arizona hiking trail in April of 2023, believed he was transgender and was jealous of her beauty. Here's the news report. Play for me.
Phoenix 911, where is your emergency?
Oh, I just found a woman's body out in the desert.
In April 2023, a neighbor found 29-year-old Lauren Heineke stabbed more than a dozen times off a popular North Phoenix hiking trail. A newly released police report shows messages and searches from Lauren's devices and breaks down the investigation that followed her death, including police questioning the man she had been dating.
So we were friends, went on dates and stuff, and just honestly just enjoyed each other's company.
Carlos Anderson, who we spoke with months after Heike's death, helped police and eventually was cleared as a suspect. It was DNA from Lauren's shoe found at the scene that ultimately pointed police to suspect Zion Teasley, coming up as a match in a criminal database.
Zion William Teasley.
Police arrested Teasley just days after Heike's death, charging him with murder. Wednesday's report detailing Teasley's struggle with sexuality and gender identity in messages, internet searches, and journal entries. Police noting in his images, they found photos from Lauren's social media appearing to be accessed days after her death, along with images of Teasley in an outfit they say were similar to what Heineke was wearing when she was killed. The report says during his interview, Teasley told investigators he would want to look like Lauren. When asked by police if he planned Heineke's murder, Teasley allegedly saying, "I'm telling you, if I was going to do something like that, it definitely wouldn't be premeditated." Phoenix police also detailing messages and an alleged relationship between Teasley and a Phoenix patrol officer, with a large amount of messages exchanged between the pair until the day the now 24-year-old was arrested.
Today marks the 2-year anniversary of Lauren's death, which is difficult for us.
Lauren's parents in court this week as Teasley's trial date was pushed back to January 2027. Teasley has pleaded not guilty, but has been charged in two other separate felony cases.
So again, here we go again. It's just, I mean, again, it's like illegals committing homicides and murders and rapes, obviously. And now here we go again with what is supported by the Democrats, the transgender community. In other words, you are supporting a lie, just like you're supporting abortion, which is a lie. You're killing a human being and you're supporting it. That's what it is. That's what it means to be a Democrat, not only in 2025, but definitively in 2025. And you support people like Zion Teasley. You support him. You actually feed into and collaborate and cooperate with his lies and his mental illness, which results in a homicide. And after he kills this girl, he's dressing in clothes just like hers. And they then the left and the transgender community is always claiming that we are doing what they're doing, that we are committing a transgenocide when as of yet, nobody, not one person, there's, you know, over 1,000 people watching this podcast right now live on various platforms, not one person has been able to send me a video of a white male, white female, or a black male, black female, whatever it may be, harassing any transgender human being. They're not being harassed by anybody. If anything, they're kind of a protected class. People are afraid to say one thing because they're going to be called transphobic. So the only people that are actually committing any violence against anybody, yes, it is a trans genocide committed by trans against normal everyday Americans. This poor girl out there jogging on a jogging trail, on a hiking trail, out in the desert, murdered by a guy who was jealous of her beauty, who ends up dressing just like her the day after when he gets arrested. And this is all that you'd be like, well, it's a crazy guy. It's got nothing to do with Democrats. No, they feed this guy. They support his lies. They participate in his delusions. Oh yes, you are a woman. You are a woman. Okay. Now if he actually was properly treated either in an insane asylum or wherever, if he was dangerous, needs to be locked up under like a Baker Act in an insane asylum. But if he was actually told the truth, you are not a woman. He would never be jealous of a woman if he's not, in fact, a woman, which he wasn't. But Democrats lie. They participate in lies, just like COVID. We're all going to pretend a 99.9% survival virus is 99.9% non-survival. We're all going to pretend. We're all going to participate in a delusion. We're all going to act like a bunch of idiots. And I know I'm talking to red pill people who didn't participate, or maybe you did for a little while and you realized that it was ridiculous and you stopped, whatever, whatever. But we're not going to participate. This is what it causes. This is the end results of participating and supporting people's delusions. Speaking of that, here's another one for you. Pick from the Daily Mail. Woke Maine teacher calls for Trump and all his supporters to be killed as she dares bosses to fire her. She looks sane, doesn't she? That looks like the same person you want teaching your kids. But then they just buy right into and support. Who wants her fired? I'm sure that it's not Democrats that want her fired, because I could spend a week, hour and a half a night, showing you videos of Democrats calling for the assassination of Donald J. Trump. The only people that are threatening genocide, that are committing genocide, that are committing violent acts are, in fact, Democrats. And they look like that. How can you be a Democrat in 2025? Let's have some fun for just a minute here. This is from the skiff video. Why does Emmanuel Macron, I just have to show you this. I know it's way off. It has nothing to do with anything that's going on. But I like these these little diatribes or comments on why are things the way they are. Candace Owens here. Why does Emmanuel Macron, speaking of transgenders and pedophilia and all of that, because definitely all enmeshed in the same amalgam, have a book? Why does Emmanuel Macron have a book from a self-admitted pederast on his desk? Play for me.
By the way, that Emmanuel Macron, who was at first inaugurated in May of 2017, had his presidential portrait done. Okay, that's it. And chose an interesting book to include in the background. A book by an author known as André Gide, a self-admitted pederast. Okay. Now, a pederast, if you are not familiar with that term, according to Merriam-Webster, is a man who engages in sexual activity with a young boy, okay? If you're wondering, how does that differ from pedophilia? The answer is that pederasts are adult men, specifically, who are into only little boys, specifically. So it doesn't include girls. Pedophiles can be into either, as long as they are minors. So Andre Gide was a self-admitted pederast. He was into little boys. Which book did Emmanuel Macron select for his portrait? A book from Andre Gide entitled The Fruits of the Earth in English, okay? In French, it's Les Nourritures Terrestres. Forgive my terrible pronunciation there. So that's him. That's the book that he chose. If you're wondering what it's about, the book is about how you should flee your family, how you should flee rules. Gide's work was autobiographical in content, all right? He was inspiring a younger generation of boys to flee tradition because he did that. He felt that he did that when, as an adult, he went to Algeria, which was then a French colony, to have sexual experiences with Muslim boys.
So there you go. That the guy who travels to the Far East to have sexual experiences with boys. He writes a book and it's on Emmanuel Macron's desk. That's kind of weird, but everybody agree. It's kind of weird. We need to be getting to the bottom of what's happening. I mean, this is a basically like I'm always espousing to you. Everything that we've been told and all of the images that we've been given with a few exceptions are all lies. World War II, World War I, everything's a freaking lie, except for going back to like Paul Revere. Everything's a lie. We need to find out. I mean, is Emmanuel Macron married to his serial abuser? Because allegedly his quote unquote wife, and Aaron, if you can flow those pictures in, yeah, that's who he's married to. Okay. Now, I'm not trying to be positive towards Emmanuel Macron, but he's a pretty decent looking guy. Yeah. You can't do better than that. I mean, so this woman is, I can't remember how many years older than him, 15, 16 years older than him. He's married to it. She has absolutely no features of femininity. Like, she is flat hipped. And she was like his tutor. When they met when he was like 14 or some 14, 16. Don't hold me to all the stats. I mean, I probably should have looked into it more before I start talking, but I didn't plan on going here. Oh my gosh, Aaron just found out, 25 years older. So they met when she was Emmanuel Macron's tutor. So does he have a book about a child rapist because he's a victim of perpetual child rape and now lives in Stockholm syndrome with his rapist? I just want to know, am I saying any of that is true? No, but that is not a normal. Have you ever seen video of this person? It's not normal. It's not. So maybe the reason why he has no problems with an author who is a confirmed, I mean, come on, that's not real. I mean, come on. This is not normal, okay? We all need to just go ahead and say it out loud. This is not normal. Something freaky is going on. Is he married to the person who sodomized him as a boy? I just want to know. I have to pick a he or she, so let's call her she for ease of conversation. You ever seen pictures of her? Like when she's like, like in a one piece? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, it's true. It's like, it's not feminine, okay? It's just not.
There you go.
Okay, now, is that a man or a woman? That's Chuck Schumer's wife, okay?
That's a dude.
I mean,
that's Bill Schumer.
Ooh, you got to reverse. Bill and Chuck. Bill and Chuck's excellent adventure. Okay. I mean, we need to ask these questions. I mean, what is really going on? Because I'm telling you, you have the spirit of the world, the prince of the power of the air, loves for men to be engaged in homosexual relationships. Okay.
That's a dude.
I'm just telling you, man, it is freaking odd. And it's hard to deny the videos when there's a wanker slanging back and forth when she's dancing. I mean, those aren't edited. It's confirmed they're not edited. People say, it's a pleat. And I've talked to her. I've talked to her ex-boyfriends from back in high school. Like, they're getting, like, any guy. Okay, get this now. Any guy who's dating another guy and either does it on purpose or finds out when the penis is revealed is never going to admit that they thought that it was a guy they were dating.
Ever. Yeah.
And never going to admit that it was a guy. They'll just say, oh, yeah, she's a girl. And they're just going to get the heck out of that interview. Because they're having like a little crying game incident going on. The pants are coming off. And lo and behold, there's a schlongy there. And you're like, I thought you were a girl.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, actually, it comes, and then Big Mike's voice comes out. No, yeah. No, tonight, you're the girl.
Big Mike's in the house.
Big Mike in the house. So, I mean, hey, Aaron, go back to Chuck Schumer. So, like, I'm just telling, is it, it, tell me, like, tell me these people aren't men. I mean,
dude,
that right there, I mean, ugh. It's the reverse of the Aerosmith song. Lady looks like a dude. I mean, who would say, you know what, that's who I'm going to marry? Chuck Schumer, who puts, you know, cheese on a raw hamburger.
It was love at first sight, Tom.
Yeah, it was love at something. So, I mean, I just like to get the bottom of it. Hey, speaking of that, let's go to this one. Tim Young video. We want to talk about creepy. This is Ed Markey, Senator Ed Markey.
Ugh.
Talk about looking like a freaking pedo. Makes this video for TikTok. Play for me. Okay, how creepy is that video? And why is he doing this to Silent Night? Look at that. And this is real. This is not AI. This is Senator Ed Markey. Look at how creepy. I mean, what do you do? First of all, you're playing Silent Night. You've got this retro 1981 boombox. I mean, what's your budget, Senator? You're probably worth $30 or $40 million. Look at how creepy this is. And he puts it on TikTok for all the little kids to see. Ugh. I mean, look at him. Look at that. Who? And then there's people in his office. I mean, you could attack this from a myriad of angles. First of all, you look, talk about looking like a pederast. Look at that.
Shh. Shh. So gross.
Quiet, little kids. I got some things to show you.
You want to read these for me real quick, and I'll get you a popsicle as a treat. You just follow me down into the cellar, and I'll just give you this popsicle right here if you want it.
That's him. That's Herbert the pervert right there.
It's me.
Who does that? So first of all, just on the creepy level, it's the worst thing ever. And then just on the common sense, this is a guy who's making budgetary decisions, life and death decisions. And common sense didn't tell you not to put that on TikTok for little kids. Look at him. Who? Nobody? And then you play a Christmas carol? Ugh. You come out like this and sing and have and do your card display to Silent Night? What a bunch of freaks. All right, I could spend all day on it. Let's go to the next thing. All right, Insurrection Barbie tweet. Ashley Biden, back in the news again. Look at the day on the bottom. Founded the Women's Wellness Space Spa in 2023. The nonprofit tax-exempt organization claims to serve women who have experienced trauma. I wonder why she needs that. Is it the shower experiences with Joe? It failed to report a total of $500,000 in donations, of course, in its first year to the Internal Revenue Service, according to Watchdog Group, the National Legal and Policy Center. And anything happened to them? No. Not one thing, and that was under the Biden administration because they would have done their taxes in 2024. So under the Biden administration, they knew, the IRS knew, Joe Biden knew, to the extent that Joe Biden can know anything, that Ashley Biden refused to acknowledge $500,000 in donations and nothing happens. If that was you, you'd be in federal prison. Let's go to Al Gore for a moment, shall we? Here's a Colin Rugg. You guys have the video? Mm-hmm. You can just side by side it. There's nothing to it. So I just, you know, the latest data coming out of Antarctica. Antarctica reverses trends and gains ice for the first time in decades, according to a new study published by Science China Earth Sciences. Researchers say 2021 to 2023, our Antarctic ice shield saw a record-breaking mass gain. I thought it was supposed to be gone. Where do you get that from, Tom? Let's go to the next one. Here's Al Gore's predictions in comparison to what's actually happening. Play it for me.
Polar ice cap is, in their words, falling off a cliff. One study estimated that it could be completely gone during summer in less than 22 years. Another new study to be presented by U.S. Navy researchers later this week warns it could happen in as little as 7 years. The entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years. We have seen just in the last 2 weeks reports that the ice on Greenland is melting 4 times faster than was predicted.
That's what former Vice President Al Gore predicted back in his movie in 2006. It didn't happen. There he said back in 2009, 75% chance Arctic ice gone within the next 5 years, 7 years. 8 years later, Arctic's still here.
And I have invested in it, but every penny that I have made, I have put right into a nonprofit, the Alliance for Climate Protection.
The former vice president's Nashville home is more than 10,000 square feet. And in 2017, right before his documentary, An Inconvenient Sequel, opened, the National Center for Public Policy Research, a conservative think tank, estimated the vice president used 21 times more energy than the average American. That's just in the Nashville home. They didn't figure in the other two.
If you believe that the reason I have been working on this issue for 30 years is because of greed, you don't know.
So he uses in his own home, in one of his three homes, just like Three House Bernie, the socialist who has three houses, palatial houses, but in Al Gore's one home alone, that's not counting his other two, this is the 10,000 square foot mansion in Nashville, he uses per year 21 times the amount of energy as the average American. But yet he advocates for CO2 being the end of the world. And Aaron brings up a very valuable point. Talk about the ultimate circle bleep symbiote. He creates his NGO, his non-for-profit organization, and pays himself multi-millions of dollars to run it, and then donates to it to pay himself. He gets it, so he pays himself, I'll just make up the number, pays himself $3 million a year to run his non-for-profit organization, and then uses his donations to his own organization that pays him as a tax write-off. That's exactly what's going on. Al Gore's net worth is $300 million. Aaron just sent it to me. $300 million for a man who spent his life as a quote unquote public servant. But if you think, Aaron and Brent, if you think that Al Gore is all about, you know, benefiting, financially benefiting himself, enriching himself, you don't know him. He's worth $300 million off of selling like climate credits back to himself, profiting, selling them himself. Let's go to this one. Eric Doherty video. Just in, good news, everybody. Good news. It's official. Mike Pence receives the JFK Courage Award for putting his life and career on the line on January 6th. We'll just play a little snippet of this. Play it for me.
I will always believe, by God's grace, I did my duty that day to support the peaceful transfer of power under the Constitution of the United States of America.
See, what someone like Mike Pence is actually a parody. Is it parody? Parody.
Parody.
Parody of courage. He's a parody. What it is he's playing the role of a courageous person. You could tell. Because do you think he actually talks like that? He talks in those halting sorts of ways. People do that, whether Hussein Obama did the same thing. They talk like that because their actual speech is completely unanointed, you know, non-encouraging. not even really super intelligent in any way, shape, or form. So in order, they have to like manufacture a veneer of anointing, a veneer of intelligence, a veneer of being inspirational, because it's totally uninspiring, unanointed, and unintelligent in and of itself, I believe, on January 6th. And he does this. He is the ultimate Christian cuckboy. The ultimate Christian, fake Christian cuckboy. He has the look, he has the haircut perfect. He uses the he puts out the what he deems to be the correct image, says all the correct things that maintenance his lifestyle. His lifestyle being, you know what? Mike Pence, the left will say Mike Pence is a good guy. That's all that matters to him in life. Mike Pence is a good guy. Did they say Jesus was a good guy? Did they? Well, they nailed him to a cross between two criminals. So Aaron, so Brent, did they say that Jesus was a good guy? No. So should that be your aspiration as a Christian, that the world and the prince of the power of the air and those controlled by him, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? Do you think that if Jesus was deemed a bad guy by the devil and by the people that follow the devil, right out of John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. That's the only two worlds that exist. People that are following the devil and people that are following God. So do you think that getting the approval of people following the devil is Christ-like? Because that's what Mike's all about. Just flow right in. You can just mute the next video and play it for me. Doc 369. Do you think, here he is, now he's getting the approval. What, nobody has ever been able to my knowledge, find out who this guy is that's handing Mike Pence his Judas coin and what that Judas coin was. To my knowledge, you may know, I don't know. And then here comes Nancy. Mike Pence, as a Christian, he believes that it is most Christ-like, you just keep running it, most Christ-like to get the approval of people who follow the devil like Nancy Pelosi. That's what he believes. That's what most churches do. That's why they followed all the COVID commands. They believe it's Christ-like to cooperate and capitulate to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of the world. That's what they think. Absolutely repulsive human being right there. Repulsive. Talk about a sheep in wolf's clothing, or a wolf. Wolf in sheep's clothing. There we go. Talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing. Right there. He's got all the look, right? Looks like a good conservative guy. Talks like one. Advocates when he thinks it's politically expedient to do so for pro-life causes, but never did a freaking thing about it. Not one thing himself. But anyway, oh, it's 10:18. All right, that's good. Well, love you guys. Appreciate you so much. Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much. Love you guys. Stick around for the post game. Love all you guys in the chat. Appreciate each and every one of you. Again, stick around for the post game. Back here tomorrow night, as always, 9:00. Love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.